Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl. Oh shit. Look what's just fucking stepped in the room. The Wolf and Owl podcast. Up in your earbox.
Yo, baby.
Yes.
Oh man, you look so flexy and nice. I think Portugal Rom is my, like, if I had a crush on any version of you, Portugal Rom would be the version that I... Your beard looks so nice.
Really? Do you think so?
Are you like trimming it every day?
No, I haven't trimmed it. Do you know what? By the end of this, it's going to, like, because I've not... I'm going to get my hair cut out of here, bro. Do you know what I mean? So I got it done before I left.
Really?
Why am I talking like this? I ain't going to get it cut. No, you've been
living
here,
that,
bro.
You're living that, like, Algarve life now.
Because I'm just like, I'm Portugal, that Portugal thing.
Romy Portugal's just chillaxing.
Yeah, I ain't got time to get a hair trim.
It's like your body looks nice as well, boy. Your shoulders look...
Right, for the benefit of the Wolf and Owl podcast listeners, I'm just going to tell you why this absolute fucking tongue lashing that my arsehole's getting from Tommy is happening. And the reason is that I've had to get up to do this at 7 a.m. on holiday. And even as I speak, Tom's already started distracting himself with some sort of protein shake. Because Tom's got some, like, next level schedule things going on, right?
Well, I want to shout this out, yeah. We talked last night via text. You said we might have to leave it or go for Friday.
Wow. Incredible. I've seen you put a spin on things. This time you spun it, bent over the table and fucked it up the arse. It's so far from what happened.
Right. How I recall it is I text you, I was like, can you do tomorrow lunchtime? You were like, mate, I can't. I've got like an inflatable like race across the pool or something, right?
I can't even fucking freestyle that such, even bullshit at that simple level is beyond you.
And then I was like, oh, sweet, sounds fun. I've got a really busy morning. And then you were like, okay, maybe we'll just leave it this week. And I was like, I'll do one for Friday. And then you were like... Yeah, I guess. But like, I've got some serious barbecues to go to, and I've got a. What are those flip flops with the. What are they called? The famous flip flops?
Havanas.
Have you got a pair?
No.
What are you wearing flip flop wise at?
I've got a couple of things. I've got a little pair of Nike Air Max slides.
Nice.
I've got a pair of Yeezy slides that Lisa thinks are hideous.
Wait, are they the ones you showed me before?
I don't think
you should. I think
maybe.
I think you sent me the picture of them before.
Yeah.
Mate, you know what I got recently? You know, the Adidas ones where it's like the front of a trainer and they've cut off the back.
Yeah. Is that nice?
Mate, I had them when I was like 17.
Yeah.
For my money, the greatest slider ever made. The greatest half, you know, just beautiful bits of kit. It's like half a Stan Smith.
Yeah.
Lovely bit of kit. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
And when you're, why are you getting all?
No, because it's just, I always know that it's like a football team, right? I know that I've hit the post probably 3 times in this game. I'm basically England against Italy. I've come out to the game really fucking throwing it in your face.
Do you know what?
I know there's a good chance for the next fucking 90 minutes I'm going to be absolutely smashed to pieces waiting for you to score.
No, I actually think those slides sound great. I do think they sound great. Lisa's got some like really drippy, like 3-stripe Adidas slides.
Oh, nice.
The difference between Lisa and I is if I buy something, I tell her about it.
Yeah.
Whereas she doesn't tell me. So then all of a sudden, she's suddenly be wearing this like this sick thing, whatever, trainer, shoes, outfit. And I say to her, I didn't know you got that. She goes, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. She's like, I'm basically being clothes gaslit by her. Do you know what I mean?
And let me just actually break this down as well, brother. Yeah. Let me just shout something out.
Okay.
The difference between women's fashion and men's fashion.
Here we go.
Right, my wife can go out, right? And she can get a few bits from Zara. She can get some bits. Like, Catherine is like, so she'll, when we go out shopping, right? She'll be able to pick a few bits out, right? And put them together as an outfit. And you'll go, oh my God, like, how much have you spent? And she'll be like, well, 30 quid.
Yeah.
On like loads of nice bits. She's so thrifty. You know what I mean? She'll be able to go to somewhere like Notting Hill, find a little, go to a couple of little places, find a Burberry jacket for next to nothing. She's just like literally one of those people who looks good in everything.
Yeah.
The amount of money as a man you have to spend to compete with that is unbelievable. Because if you buy a lot of stuff, right, and you try, me and you like to look, you know, if we were just going to wear a white shit T-shirt, pair of jeans, that's fine. Do you know what I mean? You can live in a fucking, you know. If you want to try and push the envelope a bit and wear something a bit different, it's so expensive.
Well, there's a couple of things with that. First of all, you know, I've seen this thing, like thrifting is great if you fall within the normal sort of boundaries of what humans should look like. You know, because somebody like Catherine and somebody like Lisa, they can go and pick up something and they go, oh, look, I just sort of picked it up in a thing and it's like hardly anything. And then I go and do that. And it's somebody that hasn't got a combination overhang gut and flat as a pancake arse. And for some reason, the thing that I bought for a quid in the shop that somebody else once wore and must have just rejected for no good reason, and now it looks amazing on me, that doesn't happen to me, right?
If I buy something for a quid, it looks like I've probably bought it for fucking 25p.
Somebody
it
goes,
looks like I've been ripped off.
Somebody will go, fucking hell, they've done you there, mate. Saw you coming, right? And the other thing is, white T-shirt and jeans. On some people, that you've just described an incredible outfit. I mean, that's like, you know, go on.
White T-shirt and jeans looks incredible on Rio Ferdinand or Jamie Redknapp or David Beckham.
Correct. And Lisa will do something where, listen, the Swan is a very supportive woman, but that doesn't prevent her from seeing somebody like a Rio Ferdinand or a Jamie Redknapp or a David Beckham in a white T-shirt and jeans and go, wow. And that's just in a very basic T-shirt, white T-shirt and jeans. He just knows how to pull it off. He doesn't know how to pull it off, Lisa. He looks fucking incredible. He looks like Michelangelo's David, except for the small dick, right?
I've got to say, I think Rio Ferdinand, is the almost the close horse of all close horses.
Okay.
He's incredible.
This is classic, absolute textbook Tom Davis understatement, right? We've talked about clothes a lot on this show. We've talked about appearance a lot on this show. We talked for about 45 minutes about how you're modelling your whole look on Kevin Hart for some inexplicable reason, right? And now, because we've started talking about... This is like last week, where you said that your ultimate dream guest would be an ex-monk, because we just happened to start talking about a monk. And now, because we... This
I haven't thought about monks since.
This, this, This might be the first time you fucking said the words Rio Ferdinand in this podcast. And now, after all of the times you talked about clothes, do you know what I mean? And now you're saying he's the old, he's not just a clothes horse, the clothes horse's clothes horse or something. What is it you said?
I said the ultimate clothes horse. Right, look, okay. let me just say, during the Euros, there was not one drop ball from Rio Ferdinand. He was wearing different kinds of, like, he basically, do you know, he designed a different kind of shirt. Like, with the collar is thinner than other collars. It was fucking lovely, man. Just really good cuts. Very, you know, what I heard someone say about Rio is that all of his clothes have got very clean lines. And then actually, now I didn't know what that meant until I looked at him and went, oh, actually, yeah.
What does it mean? Because somebody said it's got clean lines, and then you went, I don't know what that means. And then you looked at Rio Ferdinand, and now you know what it means. So I'd love to know what your definition. Right. If somebody said to you, what's clean lines?
If you look, you can see the, like, sometimes, right? Say sometimes you'll wear a jacket and a T-shirt, right?
I'd love to not be involved in this example of what clean lines isn't.
Right, for me or you could wear like a jacket and a T-shirt, that is, and so what happens?
Tragic that you is. Go on.
Is that like the T-shirt fades into the jacket, or the jacket fades into the T-shirt? Right, that can happen sometimes, right? Or you'll wear, I've seen you quite a few times, you'll wear a jumper and a pair of jeans, even if they're different colours. I've seen you wear a jumper and jeans where they're the similar colour, right? But even when they're different colours, they'll sort of fade into.
Is this about what? Is this about Rio Ferdinand being a good dresser or me being a shit one? I can't figure it out.
No. I'm saying me or you. I've done the same thing, right?
No, but you said me or you at the beginning, and then all of the examples you've given are of when you've seen me.
No, I'm saying it's both of us. Right, I've done the same thing, right? I've done the same thing.
What do you mean fade into? What do you mean fade into?
Because so even though the colours are different, right? Yeah. They don't look. There's like, imagine if you draw a picture, right? Yeah. Sometimes we look like we've drawn, our clothes are drawn in quite a faint pencil, right? Whereas Rio Ferdinand, if you, and Jamie, and David Beckham, and quite a lot of these cool guys, right? It looks, you can see that it's been like in a really, really, like a Sharpie. Everything's clean, really like distinguished lines.
And what is it about Rio Ferdinand that means that his clothes don't look like they're melting into one thing like mine do?
Both of ours do.
Right.
Right? It's just the way he. I think he has an eye for things. I think he's got a gift. I think he's gifted. Okay. I saw him once in a parka, a T-shirt, and a pair of jeans, and I was like, "Oh my god, wow!" Yeah.
Well, I think there's there's a lot to be worried about for Rio Ferdinand there, based on the back of that story. I'm just looking up clean lines in clothing because what you said makes absolutely no sense. I can't. It's fucking showing me how to fucking dry clean your clothes there now.
Do you have your clothes dry cleaned?
No.
Neither do I. I've got a friend who has everything dry cleaned.
There we go. What does clean lines... Oh, no. Clean line. What does clean lines mean in clothing? It means your lines are smooth, crisp, and have little disturbance or blending between them and the surrounding surfaces and colour. By the way, just as I'm reading this, I have never seen a more vomit-inducing face on Tom Davis in my life. The fucking... I wish we had some sort of smugness indicator on this. Clean line also suggests minimalism or a reduction in decoration and clutter in favour of a sleek, functional design.
That's the thing. Me and you are very cluttered. Look at what I'm wearing right now. It's very cluttered.
What are you talking about? You're wearing a T-shirt, a camouflage T-shirt.
Yeah, but Rio will wear it better, is what I'm saying. And Rio and Jamie and David. Yeah.
I think you're mistaking clean lines for abs. I've got to be honest with you.
How have you been? Have you gone to the beach at all?
Yeah, I've been to the beach, yeah.
Are you like top off at the beach or?
So in the past, I have been very much top on the whole time, except for this is really sad, but actually based on sort of my levels of body issues, I have been known to go into the sea with my T-shirt still on. And then come out as if I think that's masked it. You've actually got a T-shirt clinging to every fucking curve of your body. Just if anything, accentuating your fatness more. That's the whole reason they have wet T-shirt contests.
I know.
And then for some reason, you think if you go with a T-shirt, everyone will go, oh, that guy's fucking cool. He's just ruined a T-shirt for one dip in the sea.
When I was 19, I went to Fellaraki. And I remember, like, everyone sort of, like, doing, like, sort of skinny dipping, like, a group of people. It's like, oh, we're all going to run in the sea. Everyone's taking off their clothes with boxer shorts, underwear. And I remember being in my underpants and a Ralph Lauren polo shirt. And if everyone gets just take your polo shirt off. I was at my fattest, maybe. You know what? I didn't think I looked that bad. I mean, I was very conscious of it at the time. Someone sent me a picture of how I looked back then, and I looked at it and thought, oh, my God. Like, I was so overweight.
Mm.
I lived off a diet of beer and McDonald's and, you know, Burger King and shit. I was so fucking... I ate 3 meals a day at fast food restaurants whenever I used to go abroad.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're on holiday, aren't you? I don't really know...
Come on.
I don't really know how much I want to condemn that, if at all, because I just think you're on holiday. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but even not even as a if health
if
thing,
you if you told
not
me
to try
if you,
any other food.
Yeah, but I get all of that, but you're on. Listen, I understand people going, oh, you need to try the food from the country you're visiting and blah blah blah. But you're on holiday, Tom. If you want junk food 3 times a day, have junk food 3 times a day. I'll be honest with you, if you tell me you were doing that at home all the time, I would have a word with you. And you know, I would say, like, you can't do it. But on holiday, fucking whatever.
I think now as well, just when I was out in Crete recently, I was like, we actually have better Greek restaurants back in England than this one.
Well, this is a very dangerous thing you're saying here. Okay, but go on.
No, don't you think that sometimes you go into places and think, actually, they make more of an effort with, like, the food and stuff in the Greek restaurant that I've been to in town?
Well, it's a very complicated issue you've broached there, Tom. There's a number of issues there. Let's unpack them together, shall we?
Yes.
So, first of all, you're comparing a Greek restaurant in London with, like, this Greek taverna that you're finding anywhere on holiday, right? So, you know, you might not be talking about equal experiences here. You might be comparing quite a posh Greek restaurant.
We were told this is the best restaurant that you could go to.
Okay, so what was your issue with it? Talk me through this restaurant. What was your issue with it?
I found the people actually, when we were leaving, this is actually one of the problems I had.
Why are you leant back like you're discussing a piece of foreign literature on BBC Two right now?
I think it's just hit me how hard my workout was this morning.
Okay, good. Luckily, you got another one in a minute.
We went to this place, right? Throughout the meal, they were okay. They weren't too bad. At the end of it, they were really, really, really friendly. So it was like, if we don't really bother about them, but then they might come back and we're really nice to them right at the end of the meal. So that's the last thing they remember.
So they weren't nice to you.
But they weren't not nice. They just didn't pay us any attention. There was no sort of real, like, customer service. It was right at the end of the meal.
Was it busy?
It was really full on. Not really. I'd say they were running at 50 to 70% max, like, cover.
What a weird thing to calculate while you're with Catherine. Just sit there watching you like fucking...
like Rain Man.
Okay. Because I tell you why I asked that question. Is because we were in a restaurant the other night and the service was shocking.
Right.
Like, it took ages to get anything, right? And Lisa is, I have to say, the swan is very zen about these things, to a point. If the kids are starting to get knackered and we've got to leave and they're taking ages, she gets a bit fucked off. But generally speaking, she's pretty zen about it. Anyway, the other day we were at this restaurant and the boys got, oh God, it's fucking hell. This thing was, like, designed for them. The dessert at this restaurant is a Nutella pizza.
Oof, lovely. They used to do a Ninja Turtle one of those back in the day.
They did, mate, they did. I thought I'd made this up. You're the first person that's ever mentioned this.
Asda used to sell it when we were kids.
Yeah, with marshmallows on, right?
Yeah, marshmallows and chocolate. Nutella.
Oh my God, Tom.
I had it for my birthday one year and it blew me away.
Just you sat in a room on your own with this pizza.
You know the saddest thing, Ramesh, is apart from if you had my sister.
Don't.
And I think from what I remember, my friend Rob Johnson might have been there.
Okay. Yet again, a completely unnecessary name.
Shout out Rob Johnson.
Yeah, big up Rob Johnson. Hope you enjoyed your slice of pizza. Anyway.
The saddest thing as well, you probably only had a slice and I gouged down the rest.
I remember once, when I was a kid, do you remember when Pizza Hut first arrived in this country?
Yeah.
And there's the advert. I've since seen on TikTok how they do this on the adverts, but they pulled the slice out and the strings of cheese and everything.
Yeah.
And before that, you'd only ever had the little sort of tiny round cheese and tomato just discs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The oven baked ones, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it was incredible. I remember my mum, for a treat, I had a mate round, and this mate, I was a bit, oh God, this is, anyway, I've just remembered how horrible I was to this kid. Anyway, so he came round, and we ordered pizza, delivery pizza, or takeaway pizza. I don't think they even did delivery then, right?
No, been pick up then, mate.
Pizza arrived. He went in. Now, as an adult, I don't know how I feel about this, but as a kid, I remember being absolutely offended by it. He went in to get his bit of pizza, and he just fucking took three slices out of the thing straight off the bat. Now,
yeah, yeah,
I don't know how you feel about that, Tom. I think that's unacceptable behaviour.
I think that's unacceptable now, mate, if I'm going to
show you. Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. I just didn't know if... Because, you know, I respect your food etiquette rules. I really do.
Mate, but, I think that if I was out with someone, I would... Yeah, that's a deal breaker. I've got actually someone I know, I won't name this guy, and he'd do that. Me and my wife, he's gluttonous as heck.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And me and my wife would be like, all right, okay. He's I've seen him do that sort of thing. I've seen like someone put out 50 wings and him take 25.
Yeah, you know these sort of people that as they're eating something, and I've been guilty of this in the past, I'm not going to lie to you, as they're eating something, they're thinking about how they're going to get the next one of those things they're eating.
Yeah, but I think about that all the time. But what I do is I then go, I'll have one bit of pizza, then I'll get the next bit of pizza. Yeah,
and also,
I would never take three.
And also, the other thing is, I'm like a goldfish, right? If you put enough food in front of me to kill me, I will finish it, right? So what you've got to do is you've got to hope that other people taking the food will fucking restrict you. If a pizza arrives, I'm going to take one slice and hope for my own survival and ongoing health that people take the other slices. Because if they don't, if everybody else goes, I don't want a piece, I will one by one eat every slice of that fucking pizza.
This happened at League of Their Own, by the way, with me.
Go on,
it happened. We were sitting there after League of Their Own, only about a month ago, and someone brought in this massive, big, lovely pizza, right?
Yeah.
I sat there and had a slice of it, right?
Yeah.
And then was like, oh, this is an amazing pizza. Look round, Freddie, Jamie, yourself, Macy, Adam, Laura, no one else was eating it. By the time I'd sort of clocked the fact that I was the only one eating a pizza, I'd eaten nearly half of it, right? And Laura Woods, big shout out to Laura Woods, had eaten half a piece of pizza and put it on the side to wait, while she had a drink and chatted for a little while. I saw this pizza on the side. I thought that it was just sort of like, I didn't realise someone had eaten half of it. And then I started eating it. And then her agent went, that was Laura's piece of pizza.
Yeah.
But even then, I was
like... I don't know who's in the wrong there worse. Because you've seen a slice of pizza and you've eaten it. I don't know anybody apart from Laura Woods that has put down a slice of pizza while in the middle of eating it.
But also she'd nibbled it like a mouse. You couldn't even see anyone had eaten any of it. I don't even know if she had eaten any of it, but yeah, it was pretty fucking full on. I've got to say, do you remember when Pizza Hut first opened?
Yeah.
You just said, yeah, of course you do, because you just mentioned that. I remember my mum and dad quite clearly. I remember staying at my granddad's flat with my sister and my mum and dad going to Pizza Hut for their date night. But he saw Pizza Hut as like this really like exotic place to go.
Well, it took a while to realise that Pizza Hut wasn't actually like a restaurant. Man. Do you know what I mean? I remember I took a girl there on Valentine's Day once.
How old were you, do you think?
14? I want to say 14. Oh, is that sad or cute? No,
that's pretty alright for 14. I think that's quite cute. Mate, do you remember when I used to do the all-you-can-eat buffet?
Yeah.
They're like unlimited pizza, pasta.
Yeah, I used to love the salad. Creams. You know the salad with the croutons and then the Thousand Island and all that shit.
Yeah, because you're like me. I didn't ever have a lettuce leaf in there. When people said, I'm going to go to the salad up, but the salad bar with croutons, bacon bits.
Yeah, sweet corn, like, little layer of sweet
ranch
corn.
Ranch dressing.
Yeah, so much ranch dressing. It was essentially like making kind of a salad-based porridge.
It was more unhealthy than the pizza. It was just ladled with mayonnaise and deep fried fucking bread.
I know. And then you say stuff like, oh, like, love the salad bar.
The lettuce looking like fucking me or you on a fucking dance floor in 1998, just looking for anyone to take us. Leg old bit of lettuce. I used to sit going there at 12 when it opened, right, with my mate Frank. And we'd sit there till it used to close at 3. They'd shut the all-you-can-eat buffet. And I'd sit there for those hours. And I sometimes, at about 1:30, 2:00, go for a poo just to clear myself out so I could keep eating. I'd paid the $4.99 or whatever it was. Yeah. I was literally going to get everything.
It
went up,
didn't it go up to $5.99 at one point later?
Yeah, that's when they put ice creams on the menu too, yeah. And I think then they actually kept it at $5.99, but you had to pay a surplus if you were going to eat all you can ice cream.
I used to be so gutted when I turn up there, because it was a fucking great lunch. A Pizza Hut buffet was a great lunch, right? I remember a couple of times being really gutted when I turn up. You know, sometimes you don't know what your eating form is going to be like. Like, you sort of think, I feel hungry, right? And then you're midway through a slice and you think, oh God, I think I've done my beans here. And then you just think, oh my God, no, no, no. Because then what happens is, I don't know if anybody else has this, but later on, I would be hungry later on that day and I'd think back to the stuff that I left on the plate because I was full up at Pizza Hut buffet and really be upset with myself. Just sort of thinking, if you had that now, you fucking short-sighted arsehole, you could be full.
You know what though, Robbie?
You left a half a slice of pizza, you wanker. That's
you could have taken it with you. That's what I realised. I think about 6 to 8 months, and you could fill your plate up at the end, and then turn around and said, "Oh, can I take this with me?"
Shut up.
And yes, I swear. And then they put it into a box, and you could take it.
Did you do that?
Of course I did. As soon as I realised you could do it, I did it every time.
I never knew you could do that.
I'd wait till probably 3 minutes to 3, right? And you could see then you're dancing a bit. Okay,
this is where I was about to say I can spot a flaw in this for Pizza Hut, and now I know you're about to tell me that you absolutely exploited that flaw to the max. So go on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so you walk up and you
to the max.
The rubbish. I'd walk over and go, "Excuse me, sir. Are you putting out any more pizzas?" And the guy would look at his watch. It'd be like 5 to 3, 3 to 3, whatever. And if you asked before 3 o'clock, they were legally bound to keep feeding you to 3 o'clock, right? So what he had to do is
legally bound to do anything.
Well, it was in the offer. I'd have said, get the manager because I've paid to be here till 3 to eat all I want and I haven't eaten all I wanted
yet. And they've gone, it's not in the spirit of the buffet. What you've done is you've turned up here at the very start of it. We know you've taken a little empty yourself out turnout midway through. We've still got somebody dealing with that now. And now you're coming and asking for extra pizzas at 5 to 3.
Right. So you go like that, right? And then the guy would always, his shoulders would slump. He'd go to the kitchen. You'd often hear the chef and him, you know, and then he'd come out with 2 steaming, lovely pizzas, right? Wallop, kick, bosh. You put those on your plate. You literally sit there, probably like eat one bit of, you know, your Laura Woods one bit of pizza, right? And then you turn around to him and go, "Sorry, sir, my eyes have been too big for my belly. Is there any way I could take this with me?" He would then go and get a box. You put everything. Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I understand. I understand the rest of it. You don't have to go through all of this. Then you get up. Then you walk out of the restaurant, and when you go home,
also you look cool.
Later on, you might be hungry. You get a box out. You open a box. Wallop! You got some of the pizza there from the restaurant earlier.
Also, you look cool because you're leaving Pizza Hut with a takeaway pizza, and people go, "Oh, fucking, that was an all-you-can-eat buffet, but he's brought himself a pizza."
Oh, right, you look like you're sort of bougie.
Yeah, like you're a big roller.
And you've rocked up there and you've ignored the offer and just fucking... That takes a lot of fucking gumption to do that.
Yeah, man.
That takes a lot of... Egg.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of, I don't give a shit what you think about me, kind of.
Yeah.
And also, that feels like it only would work. That would only work once at each Pizza Hut. Did you do a tour of the Pizza Hut?
No. I'd always use the same 3: Croydon, Sutton, Kingston.
Okay, there you go. The golden triangle of Tom's crimes. Once every 3 days, one Pizza Hut is massively down on the take.
I found out you could order whatever pizza you wanted as well. Everyone used to think it was like a fucking...
No, you can't. You couldn't.
You could, mate. You used to be able to go up and go, "Oh, I've noticed there hasn't been a ham and pineapple that's come out. Or there hasn't been a meatball marinara."
Ham and pineapple's one of the standard ones they bring out. You can't suddenly start... Can I have a create your own?
No, you can't say create your own.
Right.
But you can create your own, wouldn't you? Because you've got sweet corn, you've got a lot of the old flavourings anyway at the cellar bar.
Yeah, okay.
There's an art form to this shit.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? We're talking about your great restaurant on Holland.
Oh, no, we're talking about you on the beach. I think.
Oh my God, this is fucking digressed. God, old James Torrance, the editor, is going to have a nightmare with this one, isn't he? I imagine none of this will make it. That was your. We'll often get a message from him going, that was your fifth digression from the initial topic. Anyway, so normally I wear my T-shirt or whatever, you know, blah, blah. This year, yeah. I've thought, fuck it. I'm going to, like, just whatever.
Go
my,
for it, bro.
My body's my body. And actually, slightly inspired, Tom, if I'm being honest with you, from your by your beautiful picture from your holiday you, that you posted on Instagram. Yeah. I know you did it. I don't know why you did it. Like, I don't know if you did it for a joke or whatever. I actually think this sounds a bit noble and wanky now, I realise that. I actually thought it was quite a very cool, I thought it was a cool thing to do to put that picture up.
I just think, if genuinely, if I'm honest, all I ever, all you, every, my Instagram was full of like very ripped, very, very, very fucking amazing looking people on holiday with their tops off or, you know, posing or whatever, guys ripped and tanned. And I thought, you know what? It's most people don't look like that, so I'm just going to liberate this shit and put a picture up of a. I was sunburnt very badly in that picture. I managed to conceal it quite nicely with. But if you look close enough, you see I'm sunburnt under my armpits for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, if I've helped one of my G's out, and that's you being that G, then I guess I've done my job.
Okay, this is why I don't like saying things like this to you. But yeah, so I've had my top off. And it turns out nobody gives a shit because nobody's looking at you, Ramesh, your fucking God complex having arsehole. But yeah, so I've been doing that.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
I had a bit of a humiliating experience, actually.
Oh, no.
What's your swimming like? How good are you at swimming?
I'm actually a pretty amazing swimmer.
Okay. He says that he takes a little glug of water like he's just done a funny joke on Mock the Week.
No, I am a good swimmer.
All right.
It was one of the few sports I was good at, but then obviously didn't have a swimming pool, so I couldn't, smash it as much as I wanted to.
Sorry, are you suggesting that you would have been Adam Peaty if you'd had a pool at your house?
I don't think I'd have been Adam. You know, mate, we don't know. I think the one thing that I look back at in my life and go, oh, that's probably sad. When I was watching the Olympics, I thought I'd have actually beaten quite a lot of these people if I'd focused a bit more at swimming.
Such an incredibly insulting thing to say.
No, swimming wasn't that cool when I was,
It's not that cool now.
No, but like, Adam Peaty's made it cooler.
Adam Peaty is cool, right?
Yeah,
I'll give you that. And he's a machine. But swimming isn't cool. Before you message in, yes, I know being able to save your own life in open water is a cool thing to be able to do. Yes, I understand that. And blah, blah, blah. But swimming is not cool, is it?
Right, let me tell you something about, and I didn't want to show off while I was here today, because that's not me. I swam a mile front crawl when I was like 13.
The fact that you think that that's a brag is incredible to me. So you swam a mile when you were 13. Why?
Because
you're on a school trip and some of the kids push you off the boat?
No, No, you had to do the male badge, didn't you? The different badges, swimming club.
Okay, fine. Right? For swimming club. And so a number of children got this. It's so commonly done. There's a badge for it. The way you just said that, is it like you fucking saved someone's life by swimming a mile through the water. Yeah. And you did it to get a fucking badge. I assume you got your mum to stitch onto your swimming trunks.
Yeah, of course I did. I got all my swimming badges on my swimming trunks. And then when I went on holiday, when I was like, in my early teens, or like 11 or 12, I'd fucking wear those trunks around the hotel pool.
Why the fuck did any of us think it was cool to... this badges on the swimming trunks. They make the swimming trunks a lot less comfortable. Because you've got this sort of really sort of hard, firm badge on what's supposed to be a flexible garment.
And it's just like, you've literally, you end up like, there's two places you can put it before it gets awkward. Either side of your dick.
Yeah,
right? Either
exactly
side of your privates,
right?
Exactly right. There's two little places with two little badges. Before you know it, you've got one over your pecker and then you've got one on each cheek of your ass.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know what we should have done? It's got them on a towel.
Mm. Absolutely. Or just kept them at home in a drawer. How about that?
I remember like really berating my mum and just being, please, 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 can you just put, like, get those sewn onto my trunks as soon. But most kids did like breaststroke or backstroke or whatever, or they mixed it up. I remember the teacher just shouting out, Tom Davis has done a mile front crawl.
All right, yeah, okay. Fucking hell.
I remember Mr. Bath, as I came out of the pool.
Mr. Bath? Like,
yeah.
You're taking the piss in, yeah?
That's his name. Right. Putting the towel around my shoulders and sort of like drying my shoulders and going, well done, son, well done.
Okay. So one of your teachers is a nonce.
No. He was a.
And you've named him.
He was a sweet, sweet soul, man. He was a good guy,
Obama. If my kids came home and said that they'd had a swimming lesson, and their teacher had put this towel around their shoulders and gone, well done, sweet, sweet boy, or whatever, I'd be fucking right down that school with a police officer. I'm not saying it's bad at the time, but what I'm saying is we've become a lot more hypersensitive to things like that, haven't we?
Yeah. But he wasn't like he did it. He just literally put the towel on my shoulders and then just rubbed my shoulders with the towel. Well done, boy. Well done.
Yeah. See, that's awful. Now. You know that, right? Like that. I'm not saying in all seriousness, I'm not saying that Mr. Bath was really like a sex offender or anything like that.
No, if anything, he was quite an what it was he was very...
Quite an aggressive lover.
I think I shocked everyone because I wasn't an athletic kid, but swimming... If we'd been amphibious people, right, if we'd lived underwater, I'd have been king of the kids. Do you know what I mean? But... Yeah, some shit rolls downhill, right?
Mm.
And we lived on land, so.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I hope to God, just to teach some of those kids a lesson, you told them that. Some of those kids who were bullying.
The kids who were bullying me turning around and going, oh, man, if we lived underwater, I'd kick your fucking ass. You need to know that.
You wouldn't be saying that if we had gills, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, gills, it'd be a leveler. They'd all be the same. Even now, whenever I go to a swimming pool, the first thing I do is test how many lengths I can do underwater.
Oh God, your poor wife.
What happened with you and your swimming incident? What happened, bro?
So I'm terrible at swimming, right?
Right.
And our kids are brilliant because, and I don't often say this, but the swan, you know, she's very hot at making sure these kids are like, properly prepped and, you know, they've got this. So they've been doing... She's been hitting them hard with, like... She's a really good swimmer. She's been hitting them hard with swimming lessons and making sure they practice and stuff like that. Anyway, I didn't realise how far below the sort of required standard of swimming I'd fallen. And the other day, I said to the kids, we're going to do a thing in the pool where we're going to do a 10-minute timer and we're going to see how many lengths of the pool that we can do.
Oh, no.
And if any of you beat me, I'll give you a cash prize, right?
Oh, God.
Anyway, long story short, I'm 200 euros in the hole.
Even little Alex beat you?
Not only little Alex, mate. Tiny Charlie. Every single one of them beat me.
All three of them beat you?
Yes, all three of them beat me. Charlie beat me while wearing a life vest.
Oh, man.
I mean...
You know what you should do? Because sometimes you can be called by proxy. So about me swimming a mile front crawl. Because I was about Theo's age then, so he might that might give him a little target or something to do. If you sort of say, oh, yeah, guess what? My old best buddy, he swam a mile front crawl when he was about your age, Theo.
And then what is that supposed to do?
No, it's just like saying to them that, you know, it's inspiring probably for them. And I also, like, it says, oh, you know, even though you can't swim that well, one of your best buds can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, done. Well done, guys. Yeah, and in the future, maybe you can ruin a morning with your other half by seeing how many lengths you can do underwater when you're a grown-up. Okay.
This is right. I'm going to throw myself into real embarrassment.
Here. Oh, no. Here we go.
But yeah, we're here. The first year me and Catherine were like together, we went to Portugal on holiday, right? We got a villa. And I thought it'd be really cool to show her my swimming because I'd never been near a swimming pool with her. So first, I obviously sort of like did the underwater swimming thing to sort of show how cool I was at swimming underwater.
Came out. She was naked just waiting for you. Was she?
And then I thought it would be cool to show her how long I could do an underwater handstand.
And can I just double check? You did first meet Catherine when you were 10, yeah?
I met her at Pontins. No, I thought it would be cool. I saw the pool there and I was like, I regressed to being, you know, king of the pool. And I was like, oh, mate, I can own this shit.
Yeah.
And what I realised quite quickly when I sort of my head came up from doing like fucking awesome fucking underwater handstand was that I also have to use the word awesome, which makes me want to pull out my teeth.
Mm. And if you've been embarrassed by what you've said, we know it's bad, don't we?
Yeah, I feel more. And actually, weirdly, because I spent so much time under the water on that holiday, I got quite a bad ear infection.
Yeah, that's the other thing is water in the ear.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So irritating, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've got quite small ear canals, so it's really hard to get. It's the only small thing about me apart from...
Glug of water. Okay. Do you want to do some emails?
Let's do a couple, baby.
Okay. Hi, Wolf, Alan, Swan. Firstly, thank you for delivering a consistently fantastic podcast, which kept me smiling throughout a difficult time. I've decided to start reading these.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you.
Read it.
I've split with my wife after Christmas and recently began to date again. I've met someone lovely. We've had a first date, which is really cool. Here's the problem. In my 20s, before I met my wife, I was a bit of a pain in the ass, having a lot of one-night stands and generally being a dickhead. As a result, I have two children outside my marriage, both with different mums, and a total of four children. As you can imagine, my life is complicated and I'm embarrassed about how I behaved. Safe to say I'm no longer that guy. My question is, how and when do I address this with a new date? I really hate telling my story and I don't want to scare her off. Please help. Any advice is appreciated. Thanks for being sweet souls. Anonymous.
Anon. It sounds like me and you are two kindred spirits. Obviously, you were a bit of a player. Well, yeah, obviously with my swimming and stuff.
Oh, I see.
Underwater swimming and again... King and handstand.
Yeah, this story about him sort of getting on with lots of women does really connect with your story of failing to impress one.
But sweet Anon, I'd say in a situation like this, you know, if this woman that you bequeath should become your queen, you should say to her the truth, you know, because you know, that guy that you used to be is someone who is almost like a man not of the shores that you live upon now. He's a distant memory. And you're a new guy now. So I think it's worth, just saying to her, look, I need to tell you this, and I'm not proud of it. Wallop, this is a situation I've come through. Honesty is the best policy, I think, when it comes to this thing. Do this over a nice meal. I'm not saying a Pizza Hut buffet, but, Yeah, something I think not too flash, but, you know, it's a shame Bernie Ins aren't around anymore. But, you know, you get what I'm talking about. TGI Fridays, kind of flex, Chiquitos. Sit down there. Quite a buzzy sort of restaurant.
Imagine getting that news delivery over a fucking Chiquitos.
No, but I think the more fun and less formal would make it the best. If you're sitting there and you're in the restaurant.
Here's a good idea. Go to TGI Fridays, right? And just before you're about to tell her, tell the staff it's her birthday.
Yeah, that's actually quite a cool idea because it's quite fun. It will make it, like, it will take the tension out of the room. So, yeah, I'd say that would be, that would be what I'd be doing, my brother. Good luck.
Good luck.
Fly safe.
Yeah, I would agree with Tom there. Like it's very difficult to know whether it's when it's the right time to say. I would say earlier the better, but to a point, you know, because that's quite a lot of information. It is a big thing, but, you know, saying that on the first date, obviously you're not going to be on your first date, you've been seeing her for a bit. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Because you sort of go, well, why are you telling me this now? We don't know where this is going to go. If you know better than we do. If you're in a thing where it feels like it's moving on to potentially the next level, you do need to tell her, because from what you said in the email, this is part of your past and you shouldn't be judged on that. So hopefully she'll be cool with it. If she's not, I know this is difficult, but if she's not cool with it, then it's just not meant to be, man. Like, I just, you know, there is no result that's a bad one, if you know what I mean. It might feel bad at the time. Like, either she's totally cool with it, you carrying in a relationship, that's great. If she's not cool with it and you end up breaking up, well, at least you know now. You know, both of those things are positive outcomes. Does that make sense? So, yeah.
Exactly.
So I would say, tell her now, tomorrow. I wouldn't say Chiquitos. What are you doing now?
I'm having one of these.
What is this?
Shout out MGP Nutrition for their new natural peanut energy bar, which is really nice.
You've just been smashing for a protein shake.
I'm hitting up on my proteins. Are going up.
Okay, fine. Next email. This is from, let me just see, Keegan.
Oh, man, one of my favourite names.
Hi, Wolf and Al. I genuinely think you might not have been aware that that's the first name up until 10 seconds ago when I said it.
No, I'm just saying that if Keegan was in a movie that I was writing about my childhood, he would definitely be the lifeguard at the local pool.
If he's
like the coolest guy on campus.
The character name, Keegan, would be the lifeguard. Yeah. Okay, yeah, fine. My question for you is both to do with your jobs. I work for the National... Oh, this is going to be exciting. I work for the National Governing Body of Table Tennis.
Wow.
Basically the equivalent of what the FA are for football in England, but for ping pong instead. I'm a schools officer, so most of my job is to go into schools and coach kids how to play table tennis and run events and competitions. I wish someone like you turned up to my school, because it's led to me shitting myself whenever I see a table tennis table at a place.
Same.
Or a bar.
I'm with you on that.
Because you just know that someone's going to go, what are you like? And then I have to say, I played it once, I cried afterwards, I've never played again.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Yeah.
I love my job, as I've played the sport all my life, but I find that when I meet new people, they judge me slightly for the work I do. On numerous occasions when I've told someone what my job is, I get a response along the sides or along the lines of, so you teach pub sport for a living? I think a lot of this stems from the lack of importance my job brings to the general public. Some of my close friends work in more essential jobs, such as doctors and lorry drivers, so I feel constantly reminded about how insignificant my job really is. I speculate that both of you may have experienced similar responses from people who have deemed comedy as a non-essential occupation. So my question is this. Have you ever felt when you've spoken to someone new about your jobs in comedy that they treat you any differently because of it? And if so, how have you dealt with it? Love the podcast. Always look forward to the next episode coming out. Keep smashing it, Keegan. You keep smashing it, Keegan.
Let me just shout something out, Keegan, right? Okay. When you go and it's Christmas Day and you have your Christmas dinner, yeah? Everyone gets fucking dizzy. Everyone gets crazy about the pigs in blanket. That would be probably the thing that everyone goes most crazy about. Then you're going to go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I had some nice stuffing. I had some sweet, sweet cranberry sauce, some bread sauce, some turkey, some fucking honey rinsed fucking parsnips. People fucking lose their fucking minds, right? But very few people mention the humble sprout, right? But the sprout's an essential part of that meal. And without the sprout, if the sprouts weren't there, you go, oh, shit, we'd have sprouts this year. That's quite a Christmas thing. But people want a big shout out to the sprout. And that's what society's like sometimes, my brother. Yo, we need the turkey. Yeah, you fucking love your pigs in blanket. But what makes up a Christmas dinner is all the entities. And if we lose any of them, then, yo, then you know about it. So just keep doing you, bro.
Yeah, I would agree with all of this, apart from the fact that people do talk about Brussels sprouts, and it's mainly so much they fucking hate them. So to use that as an example is an incredible decision to me.
I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, fine. Keegan, can I tell you something? Before I ended up doing like comedy full time and ended up doing doing telly or whatever, all of my friends, all of my family thought it was so stupid that I was doing comedy. They didn't condemn it, but I was going and doing gigs. And admittedly, it wasn't my job then. I was trying to make it. But I would miss evenings at the pub to go and do gigs and stuff. They would just go, what are you doing? Like, you're going to mess around or whatever. And then it was only when like I started ending up doing it like properly that they started going, all right, they started realising it was a job. But even now, when I tell my friends I've gone off to do like whatever, they'll go, oh my God, like that's not, you need to do proper work. Admittedly, I'll be honest with you, I sort of agree with that to a degree. But the point I'm trying to make is what you do is important. What you do is good. Do you know what I mean? And part of the reason that your job is so important is because of those comments you're getting. People saying to you stuff like, say you teach a pub sport for a living. That's exactly why what your job's doing is so important. What the job you're doing is so important. Because table tennis is a proper thing. Just think, you might go to a school like it as part of your work, and you might encourage a kid to take up table tennis, and they might end up like smashing it at the highest level, or even
Olympics.
Let's imagine they don't even do that. Let's imagine that they just end up being able to not be worried about a table tennis table being somewhere and them having a game. Or they might join a social club. It might change their social life. They might move to a new area and they've got no friends. And then somebody goes, and then they go, I can play a bit of table tennis. There's a table tennis club. And then they make a whole new circle of friends as a direct result of what you've done. So what I would say to you, Keegan, is some things aren't as obviously amazing or as obviously as important as other jobs. But what you do is important. And never, ever forget that. And what I would say to you is you do your table tennis job and you take it to the max.
Yo, and Keegan, just think, man, one day, you know, one of the young scholars that you are teaching ping pong, you know, in the distant future starts a podcast with his best pal and turns around and says, oh, actually, I remember winning this fucking ping pong championship and I smashed more balls than I've ever smashed. And then my ping pong teacher came over and fucking put his hands on my shoulders and said, well done, son, well done. And that memory stayed with me forever.
Yeah. Mr. Barthes, he was banned from swimming, moved on to table tennis, and it turns out he nonced his way through that as well.
You could be someone else's Mr. Barth. So.
I hope you're not, Keegan.
Keegan Barth.
In all seriousness, Keegan, your job's important.
Keep doing it, Keegan.
Keep doing it, Keegan. Right, do you want to do one more?
Let's do one quick one, yeah.
Hi, Wolf, Al and Swan. I've been watching King Gary. Congratulations on King Gary, by the way, Tom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you very much.
And I have a question. In the episode where Stuart breaks down in front of Gary, fearing he's a bad father, do you feel your friendship helps or hinders your performance? I was wondering whether knowing each other means you get more emotional seeing your friend upset or if it makes you feel silly. Either way, it was a touching scene. Keep up the great work. You have me unashamedly laughing my ass off on the train. Take care. And that's from Sean, brackets, water bear.
Oh, wow, water bear. I didn't even know there was water bears.
No, I didn't know that either. Aren't they little tiny things? Care bears. Let me just have a look. Bear. I think they're little tiny things.
Quite cute, maybe.
Let me have a look. Water bear. Water bear. Oh, my God.
What?
They're like tiny little things. Let me show you that. Can you see that?
Oh, my God. Wow.
I
Jesus.
Know.
Oof.
I know. Why are you calling yourself that, Sean?
Sean, come on. You do better than that, mate. Listen, that scene was, I think that scene was all about Ramesh just delivering something pretty incredible and pretty amazing. It was, I think I'd speak for the whole crew there. I think he took it shocked us all. It was incredible. It was amazing to see. And yeah, I think the whole of the dynamic between Gary and Stuart works because we're as close as we are. And I think you trust each other to, you know, to do the best possible job. And you know that the person you're doing with is going to be, always bring their A game. Have you had your teeth whitened while you've been away?
No.
You keep checking them. You check them loads today.
No. Do you know what? I've got this like... Do you know that I told you that I'm getting this Invisalign thing? Are you doing your braces?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've got to do it after the two jobs I'm doing now.
So it keeps... I just put them in and it's just like... feels a bit like...
Have you got them in now?
Yeah.
I'm getting mine done after these two jobs because I both absolutely need to keep my teeth disgusting for them. So that's a nice thing. Anyway, what a pair, Sean. Yeah, it was... and thank you for your kind words about Kingo. It's I'm very... humbled by the response. It's been very nice. So thank you very much.
It has been very nice. I would say, in answer to your question, Sean, it does help that Tom and I were very close. We weren't giggly at all during that thing, were we?
No. That was,
It was as the scene went, actually. It's quite sad. And then Tom and I walked off and then...
Well, actually, to be fair, that the whole thing was sort of undermined by the fact that we were working that day with child actors who really didn't care about the craft as much as we did.
No. And it was also undermined by the fact that earlier that day, as has been detailed on this podcast, Tom did one of the most revolting farts in a very close space that I've ever had the misfortune to fucking experience. And then blamed me because apparently my peer pressure made him choose a vegetarian option.
The only vegan bully in the world.
Right. Tom,
yeah.
Can you, somebody emailed in saying, do you feel a lot of pressure doing these? Because it does require a lot of creativity right at the end of us sort of doing the whole, I mean, is there any part of you, somebody said, is there any part of you that regrets setting this standard?
I don't put too much pressure on them sometimes.
Okay, Tom, can you do us the honour of taking us out?
Okay. There was a group of people who are walking around who are amazing at playing different musical instruments. They were a group of friends, I guess. One guy could play the drums amazingly well, and like one guy could play the guitar, and someone else could play the piano. They're amazing. And then there was Sam Serengoski. Sam Serengoski was a quiet man, and everyone said, oh, what is your thing? And he said, oh, I can't play any instruments, but I can whistle. I can whistle any tune in the world. And everyone was like, oh, right, well, we don't really need a whistler here, mate. And he said, well, I could whistle along to the tune that we make. And or I could whistle the tune and, you know, you could play along. And they said, look, we don't need a whistler, Sam Serengoski. Go and make some teas or something. So for a long time, Sam basically became a roadie for this group of musicians that toured the world. And everyone basically just sort of like, you know, really paid him no heed. And then one day they were all on a boat trip and the boat started to sink and everyone was shouting and screaming, saying, oh my God, like, help us, like how. And Sam Serengoski let out the loudest whistle that you've ever seen. It was a whistle so pure and so strong that the waves and the wind carried it towards the beach, and Noah Lifeguard and some other people who were also good at swimming and helping boats all ran forward and said, oh my God, look, that boat is sinking just off the shore. You know, we heard the whistle. That whistle told us everything that we needed to know that was carried in the wind, right? So they got a lifeboat and they got out to the lifeboat and they saved the whole group. And Sam Serengoski, as they got onto came towards shore, one of the other band turned around to him and said, listen, Sam, we've always like looked at your whistle as being a pointless thing. But actually, when in need of someone to save us, it wasn't the drums or the piano or the guitar that did. It was your humble whistle. So thank you. And we'll never, ever look down on your whistle again. And Sam turned around and said, like, just smiled and then just did a little whistle. So what the point of the story is, there's no bad talents, just talents that require a place to be seen.
That really was beautiful.
Thank you.
It really was beautiful. What are the rules about plugging our stuff, by the way? Because I tell you why. I just want to very quickly say, I just started a Radio 2 show for the love of hip-hop. Please can everyone listen to it?
Because... Yeah, let me just quickly just say, by the way, I had to plug this fucking show to Nikki Chapman. Radio 2, I was doing an interview about King Gary, and said, oh, we can't get hold of Romesh. Are you able to plug his fucking hip-hop show?
They didn't say that.
I swear they said that. So halfway through the interview, I'm talking about my show, trying to get a little bit of press. We have to talk about your hip-hop show. By the way, to which I said that you are releasing an album.
Yeah. Let's talk about this, actually, very quick. I know you've got to go in a sec. But you've done this in the past, and it's been reported seriously, and you've not learned from that. When you said that Jamie Redknapp was releasing a joke book and that you were doing the forward for it, that got reported as news. And now you've gone onto Radio 2 and told them that I'm quitting comedy to release a rap album. What was the response to that?
Well, Nikki Chapman was knocked silly by it because you're one of her favourite comedians, evidently. Which sort of, yeah, through the whole of the interview, it was very Romesh-led. I can tell you now that's four tickets to whenever you're playing.
I love talking about... you know what I like talking about when I get... Because I've had to do press for King Gary, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
And interviews about King Gary. And it's just all like... So what do you think... Why do you think it is that... That Tom and James are as good as they are at what they do. And I feel like saying, listen, let me explain something to you. I don't give a fuck about talking about those two on air, right? I thought we were talking about specifically my role and what I've done on this series. Yeah? That's how I play it. So it's a bit of a different vibe, do you know what I mean? Kind of ruins the interview, burns my bridges with that press opportunity in the future. That's how I play it.
Mate, you're a sweet, sweet soul.
Oh, this is the other thing, very quickly before we go. Yeah. Sorry, I know this is annoying. In answer to a few emails we've had in, yes, Tommy's coming to my house and we are still doing the overnight episode. Yes, we are still doing lives. And Tom, I would love... you know what? I miss you, bro. When I come back, let's do a little dinner something, yeah?
You got it, baby. And also... we are looking at making a Wolf and Owl Bill beer for Christmas. So
we absolutely are. Yeah. So yeah.
So if there's any, there's a couple of breweries you've got reached out. So if you are one of those breweries, do it again.
What? What?
I need to save your numbers.
Okay, so we're not working on it. Thomas
no,
lost.
But we will. There'll be like a real Christmas twist, like a Brussels sprout beer. Anyway, keep it real. Thank you for listening. I love you all.
Love you guys. Bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.